You're listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly podcast looking at all things Warhammer.
This is episode 68 of our podcast. It's our second podcast of the year already.
The year's going by already, isn't it?
It is indeed. So my name is Dave and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello.
And Jay.
Hello.
Welcome back, gentlemen, to another fine podcast where we're going to be talking about last week's Open Day.
It was awesome.
It was really good. So me and Matt went down to Warhammer World to take in the visual delights of new stuff.
It's very grand.
It was very grand. And a very good table service as well.
Yeah.
In Bugman's. We are also going to be talking about Mortal Realms, which is a brand new Partwork subscription magazine. Basically like Conquest, but for Age of Sigmar.
Yeah. Really excited for this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. To coincide with Duncan's
departure
from Games Workshop, we have decided to focus our top three on our top three favourite Duncan moments.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. We've had some cool picks from the community as well, so we'll read those out towards the end of the podcast. We also have a little bit of sister-related news in the news segment. But before we get stuck into all of that, shall we talk about what we've been doing in the hobby this week?
Sounds good to me.
Matt, what have you been up to?
So, this week I have mostly been airbrushing up the Zone Mortalis scenery.
Yes, you've been sending Twitter and Instagram all over flurry.
It's alright, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the last Open Day, we were chatting to Mark Bedford about his Zone Mortalis scenery.
The most gruesome board ever.
Filthy board. You look like you'd catch a disease. Yeah. So what is kind of steal a scheme. So essentially, airbrush it black, airbrush the silver bit silver, airbrush it Mechanicus Standard Grey, while it's still curing and stuff, because you know the paint's not completely dry at this point. This is some kind of like painting heresy going on. Slosh the entire board or tile or piece or whatever it is with water.
Spill your brew on it.
It's pretty much, the paint will react a bit, that's fine, don't worry about it, it's definitely probably fine. Get some Agrax Earthshade, slosh that on everywhere, don't worry about trying to make it neat, if there's big pools of it, the better. And then get some weathering powder. I use MIG, Forge World do some, I think Tamiya do some, and kind of dust that into various areas. I've got a funky brush, which has got like a sponge on the end for kind of mixing this stuff in. It'll look a mess and it'll take like a day to dry. Mm-hmm. When you come back, the water will evaporate, leaving the kind of oily residue of the wash and the grimy, dusty bits of the powders, making it look nicely weathered.
Nice. Do you seal it afterwards? Or?
I will be doing, yeah. Because, yeah, that'll get off everywhere and you'll be covered in bits of...
yeah.
Brown on your fingers for the rest of the day. So yeah, I'm going to give that a bit of a coat with varnish. First of all, I want to add some transfers and graffiti and stuff.
Yep.
Just to finish it off. And there's a few like terminals that I need to paint. But what are we on? Thursday?
Yeah.
And I've got through four tiles and I think a box worth of the actual pieces as well.
Just don't think about how much you've got left to do.
It's fine.
So yeah, you've been busy on scenery. Jay, what have you been up to? That was a terrible time to come to us. I apologise. But at least people know that us here at Sprues and Brews do drink brews.
There's two sprues in front of us and three brews.
Yeah, exactly.
I have been representing for the Dwarden, ready for the Purple Sparkle Unicorns. So I've been... I picked up two Grey Water Fasteners start collecting box sets. I've started building... Well, I've built all of the Iron Drakes. I built two extra gyrocopters. I finished off a unit of hammerers and I built Gotrek himself. And then this week I've been basing them all ready for an opportunity to get outside and spray them, because I have an air gun like Matt, so I'm not doing it in the house. So it's looking like tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the day when I can put the undercoat on, and then over the weekend I'll start probably. My head is saying start batch painting your Iron Drakes, because you can just, you know, hammer them over the course of a weekend and get them done. But my heart is saying start painting Gotrek, and I think my heart might win. So
once you've got Gotrek, he's not a very big model.
No.
You can then crack on with your Iron Drakes.
So I'm thinking by the time we get to the next podcast, I'll have Gotrek painted.
Amazing. Well, the Dwarden managed to hit the battlefield as well this week.
They hit the battlefield and then got hit a lot. by Chaos.
So yeah, it was Dwarden versus Archeon and friends. The list that I fought Dave with on Warhammer TV. It's a pretty good list for Slaves to Darkness. You've not got many models, but they do hit like a truck.
They do. They really do.
Yeah, I didn't stand a chance from turn one, I don't think. Basically, I don't think I actually got to fight with anything apart from Gotrek, and I think the Warden King might have had one swing before he died. Basically, anything that Matt charged just died before I even got to roll any dice.
I found this with Ulrichs. I just had more Ulrichs than him, and I got to punch him back sometimes. And when I did, I managed to kill some. What? The main thing for me is killing Archeon, because
killed Vanguard, he died.
Gotrek killed Archeon.
That's epic. That's really cool.
Gotrek is really tanky.
Yeah, very tanky.
All of Archeon's high damage, higher end stuff, he doesn't care because he only takes one damage from it, and he's got an ignore wounds shrug, hasn't he?
3+ feel the pain, ward save thing. So he can't win a battle because he can only be in one place at once. Well, for the
and it takes him a while to get to that place.
Yeah. but I'm going to practice with them because the plan is to take the Dispossessed to the. Well, it's a living city, actually, not Dispossessed. I use the living city rules to give me a little bit more maneuverability, although. Questionable how useful it is, because basically it allows you to get one turn of shooting off with the Iron Drakes at what you want, but then your Iron Drakes are dead in the next turn.
Depends what you're facing there. That one turn can do a lot of damage with them shooting twice.
They killed one Varangard.
Varangard are tough though. I want to play against your Living City list, because I think you might find Orcs are a bit squishier than Varangard.
Possibly.
I just don't let me get in combat with
them. They look ace, all like ranked up with the silver Gromrel armour. It's going to be
so mad. That turn one, they look fantastic.
They do look good. Yeah. The gyrocopters look ace. They did a good job at. They killed a Gaunt Summoner.
They did.
And then they. They survived a turn of combat with the Varangard and then got caught again.
Yeah.
I think you did get double turned, didn't you?
I got double turned.
They're a painful army to get double turned by. Yeah. A very painful. I know this from experience.
The thing that really hurts is that the Chaos player knows they've got the double turn, so everything's in like optimal position to take advantage of it.
And all you can do is stand there and go, he's got the double turn, I've just got to watch and pray to the dice gods that he somehow fluffs, hitting on twos, just rolling lots of ones.
Yeah. It was an interesting one, actually, because of Jay's teleporting shenanigans, I had to put two units of Varangard out of Archeon's aura, so they were, you know... They weren't hitting on as good as they could have been.
Oh, right.
That's why the gyrocopter survived for a turn, I think.
He was, yeah.
But it's okay. I'm not planning on winning any tournaments with this army. This is purely nostalgia for putting the Dwarden on the battlefield.
They get some cool points at the Unicorns event as well.
I'll enjoy using them. They'll be good.
Yeah, forming you'll get some favourite game points stuff. Votes, I'm sure. Awesome. I have been painting. I've had quite a busy week, but I have managed to paint a test model for my ogres, which I'm really happy with. He was like absolutely seconds to paint.
He looks really good.
He was so fast.
Contrast.
You're loving the contrast, Dave.
I love contrast. Don't know if I mentioned that I love contrast. And I painted, now this is what I really enjoyed painting. I painted a Tau Battlesuit, a Commander, Cold Star. Well, I say painted. I painted about 75% of it.
Okay, that's very precise.
Loved painting it. Loved the scheme I've gone for. I've seen this orange and turquoisey blue scheme online for ages, and I've always thought it's really striking, so I've gone for it.
Nice.
And I'm really happy with it.
So you're respraying up the rest of your guys and
yep, I'm gonna spray over everything, and this will be my main. Obviously I want to be painting my ogres as well, but I think my Tau is where I want to really chuck all my time at the moment.
Amazing.
And get those done. Because I want to play Jay with my big war. I've not played his Sylvaneth yet either.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, I've looked blah, 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 the General's Handbook with the points changes. I've not revised my Sylvaneth list yet because we've signed up for the Age of Sigmar team, Throne of Skulls team tournament, and I want to take probably the Sylvaneth to that because the Sylvaneth are a much more competitive army. So I do need to revise. So what I'll perhaps do, Dave, is I'll have a look at what I'm doing with my Sylvaneth list. I'm pretty sure I've got enough points to throw another tree lord in there.
Yeah, you had quite substantial points cuts.
Yeah, I think Alariel lost 60 points, the tree lords lost 20 points each, the ancient lost 20 points, I think, and these are all things I had in my army, so Oh yeah, I'd be happy to give you a game with a silver knife, Dave.
Cool. So yeah, I've really enjoyed painting those and studying, because I picked up the Ogre Moor Tribes book at Warhammer World, so I've been studying that as well as digging the Tau Codex out, which I've not read for some time. So yeah, some quite good hobbying all around, really.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the hobby updates to start this podcast. Later on, we have got our top three and the community top three picks, but we're going to take a pause now and come back with the news. On to this week's news, which I think features those sisters quite prominently.
It does. They've been coming for a while. We knew they were coming, but it's finally here. The Adeptus Sororitas are up for pre-order. Again.
You can get the original box, can't you?
It is available again, yeah. So if you want to get some of those kits to pad out your force and the limited codex, that is available in limited stock independent retailers. I don't know if Games Workshop have got it again. They may have it up for order on Saturday when all the other stuff appears.
Ah.
So yeah, we've got Codex Adeptus Sororitas, which we reviewed on the podcast a couple of episodes ago. And I'm sure, if I ask him nicely, Dave may edit it and put it on YouTube as well for this weekend.
I will do. I'll have it up for this weekend.
And that's £25. It's a really good book. Gives you lots and lots of options. If you've already got the big box, you already know what's in it, which is really cool. If you haven't, there is a different limited edition available with a different cover.
It's a very nice cover.
For the completionists who want more.
All the covers are really nice, because I actually really like the cover for the standard
copy.
Yeah,
I do.
Very
nice.
There's
also data cards for £15. Again, these are the same ones that were in the big box. There's some dice at £20. Now, they've got a really nice stained glass effect, but they seem really hard to read what's on them.
Like the IDNF Deacon.
Could they not be your miracle dice, though?
Potentially, yeah.
I think they're nice.
They are really, and I love the stained glass effect, so I'd like to pick them up. I don't think I'd use them for gaming, but yeah, for miracle dice, maybe that'll be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they've got like a fleur de lis for the six and a skull for the one, and then like segments of a stained glass window for the other pips. It looks pretty. Not the easiest to scan on the table. So they're £20. I think you get 20 dice, which is good. I think they're upping the dice ratio these days in these boxes. There is the Battle Sisters box at £35, which is a little bit on the pricey side for 10 models, but they are on 32 more bases, they are in power armour, and you get a load of stuff. I think you get two banners, you get two of each special weapon, I think you get heavy flamer in there. So with the spare bits, you can probably customise the bits out of your army box as well.
The Battle Sisters box builds your standard Sisters troops,
yep.
And is it the Dominions?
And the Celestians, the kind of elite ones.
Because, okay.
So yeah, so there's different heads for the elites with a fleur de lis on them,
mm-hmm.
And then the Dominion squad is essentially just a sister squad with special weapons.
Right.
So it builds them as well, and there's enough weapons to give a nice selection of weapons on there. There's also the Retributor box, which builds five models at £32.50. This comes with, I think, two of every heavy weapon. So I'm probably going to pick up two of each of these boxes, and that'll give me enough special and heavy weapons to kit out my entire army. Because really, most of your squads want a heavy weapon in. The ones out of the army box didn't come with a heavy weapon, just a special weapon. So another box of Retributors at least pads out your heavy choices for your other kits then as well, which is cool.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad way of doing it. People who commented a bit on the pricey side, they are gorgeous models with loads of bits though. So yeah, I don't think that's too bad personally. And then there's the Triumph of St. Catherine, my favourite kit from the range. £65 is pretty much what I thought it'd be. It's the same price as Catacross, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a similar kind of kit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that is all the Sisters stuff that is up for pre-order. So I reckon we've probably got another 2 weeks of these because there's an awful lot of kits coming out.
Mm.
Yeah, my favourite kit was the Scenery Piece.
The Scenery
which
Piece.
Isn't out in the first week, is it?
So it's not. No, that's later on. We'll chat about that a bit in the open day kind of coverage.
I think you're toying with taking this as part of your list, but if it wasn't...
Oh, I am. I'm 100% it's part of the list. You get extra Miracle Dice.
But even if you didn't, it would have to be on the battlefield because I think it's a fantastic terrain piece.
Yeah, and it's in the video, it looked like it was just the statue. You also get like a rounded structure as well with a bit at the back designed by our friend Ray.
And I'm sure Ray mentioned something about instead of it being squared on, I'm sure it can go at a slight angle.
Okay.
I'm not describing this very well on audio, but I'm sure there's something special about the way
it is. I think it's like curved.
Yeah.
Which is cool to see in plastic.
Yeah. But come on, it's Ray. We expect these
the legend
plastic.
That is.
plastic miracles.
So yeah, I mean, I'm definitely getting one for the army. I might get another one to paint up because, you know, I'm lacking of scenery at the minute. So yeah, that is all the pre-orders that are coming out, all Sister related. Event wise, we have got some events that are now on sale. The 40k GT on the 18th and 19th of April, the 40k team event on the 4th and 5th of April, and the Age of Sigmar team event on the 25th and the 26th of April. Sprues and Brews will be representing at the AOS team event.
Yeah.
We may get battered, we may be lurking around the bottom tables, but we're going to give it a damn good go.
We are. We're going to go in with our competitive caps on and try our very best.
You got a competitive cap, Dave. You should have taken that to the...
I have. It's got dust on it. It's in a back cupboard somewhere. I just never wear it, do I?
No.
So the team events are really interesting. So essentially you kind of draft who you're up against, and I think it'll be a bit of fun.
Yeah, be really good. I'm really looking forward to it. It's all our news.
Well, a lot of the news is in our open day coverage.
Of course it is. So I think that's a good segue into another pause so we can come back and discuss that further. So, as we mentioned earlier on in the podcast, myself and Matt went over to Warhammer World last Saturday for the first open day of 2020. So this was a general open day, so all gloves were off, Age of Sigmar, 40k.
Middle-earth, specialist games, all sorts.
Yeah. So we turned up very bright and early.
We did. It was a cold morning, queuing outside Warhammer World.
It was. Now, we were slightly spoilt by the fact that we saw some spoilers the night before, but it didn't take away from seeing everything in the plastic. So what was the first thing we came across, Matt?
So on the little list, I've got Shadow Sun, a brand new model.
I was not expecting this at all.
No, well, we thought something Tau was coming for the...
For the greater good, the Psychic greater good Awakening. Psychic I suppose it's not that far away, is it? So, yeah.
It's funny because when they first started Psychic Awakening with like Mephiston and stuff, you expect them to be big name characters that we knew and loved. And then they've kind of deviated away from that, and we've seen a lot of new named characters.
In the Psychic Awakening, they've all been old characters.
No, they haven't. The new Dark Angel.
Is he not an existing character?
No, he's not. No. He's new.
Okay. I think he's in the lore somewhere.
Okay.
I've completely lost my train of thought. Yeah, so it was a bit of a surprise to see Shadow Sun come back, but my day, she's a gorgeous model.
It's an amazing model, isn't it? Lots of superb. Something that we've seen a bit in the Dark Angels kit. We've got multiple weapon options, multiple heads, loads of variants in it.
I think it's really interesting to see the new psychic defense for the Tau that they've developed. They've just decided a fusion blast in the face will deal with any rogue psychers on the battlefield.
That's the system of battle.
According to Warhammer Community, she does now have Fletchit launchers, which I know isn't going to stop a psychic smite coming in your face, but it's a new suit.
The enemy cannot smite you if the enemy is a vaporized puff of organic matter.
She's got a sort of typical fusion anti-armor guns, or you can swap them for more like space marine murdering weapons, which I assume do 2 damage minus lots.
Primaris killing guns.
Multiple shots, more shots than you would get on the anti-tank.
Yeah.
So. And she's also going to come complete with 2 plastic drones. So the Command Link drone's coming back. And I can't remember what they said the other one was called. Guardian drone.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Some kind of wound-absorbing drone, I assume.
And importantly, Games Workshop really like their models standing on 1 foot on a rock or some kind of debris.
It is a very warm pose, isn't it?
She carries on with that trend.
I like the different heads as well. That's a really cool part.
Yeah. I'll be sticking that helmet on her.
So, yeah, so, I mean, outside of that for 40k, we saw the rest of the Sisters of Battle kits that we hadn't previously seen. So, the Retributors, the Zephyrim, who are amazing kits.
Yeah.
There's one with, like, a banner. It looks so
good. Really detailed banner.
Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous models. We saw the Penitent Engines, and for the first time, the Mortifiers, who look really cool. So, where the Penitent Engines are your, kind of, fanatics that have... failed. The Mortifiers are sisters who have failed in their oaths and been encased in a penitent engine, with the leader one being like a big casket with all kind of gubbins stuck onto it. It looks really cool, and I'm going to put a load of these in my army list because they're amazing. We also saw the Battle Sanctum that we mentioned earlier, which is the big scenery piece.
We didn't actually see it in person, which was a shame.
Yeah, I'd have liked to have seen it in the cabinet.
Yeah.
But they did reveal it on Warhammer Community in the big trailer. And we also found the release date being, well, pre-order on Saturday.
Mm.
So these reveals have started to get really, really kind of quick from reveal to kind of pre-order, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
I think because they've got... I was listening back to the podcast that we did last year for the Hobby Resolutions, and we were maybe suggesting that maybe these open days will become quarterly, and they kind of have now.
Yeah.
Because we kind of know the game now. They'll reveal the stuff in the next 3 months, we'll rattle through that, and then they'll get the next set of reveals.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a good way of doing it, I think.
Yeah.
You can see from their point of view, they don't want to reveal something 6 months out, because it might stop you buying whatever you were going to buy on Saturday.
Sister Battle aside.
Yeah. Where 3 months... at least you get to see a few of the next things, even if it's just the next thing.
Yeah.
Where back in the day, they were very hesitant to reveal anything bar what's coming out next.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that change.
I think they know us geeks just spend lots of money.
We'll buy it
anyway.
Just show us, we'll buy it all. It's fine. Yeah. Sigma, we saw a few bits as well. For Beast Grave, we saw Hrothgorn's Man Trappers. Now, this is the Ogre Warband for Underworlds.
For some reason, and he doesn't really particularly look like... is it Hoggle from Labyrinth? He reminds me of Hoggle with his little fairy-killing thing, even though he's got a crossbow. I don't know why. He looks nothing like Hoggle.
So, yeah, this is an awesome plastic hunter with a saber tusk and three noblars armed with various stabby weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ace. I thought they... when I first saw these models the night before... I don't know if you saw the models or the artwork. I didn't realise we were nobblers. I thought, oh my, there's a new kind of goblin race coming out there. But no, it's really cool. The nobblers track it.
So yeah, these are out soon, I believe. So it could be Feb. We know Shadow Sun's out in Feb because that's when the Tau books out. Sisters are out next couple of weeks. So yeah, there's, if you think all this stuff's going to be out by March, doesn't leave many dates for them to land in, really. So,
no.
Yeah, looking forward to getting these. I want to paint these up for Underworld. We need to get some games in. Because
I'll definitely be picking these up, both for Underworld and for my Ogre Army.
Of course, yeah, you can use
them. Warcry, we saw the plastics for the Formeroid Crusher, the Ogroid Myrmidon, and the Mindstealer Spheranx. These are cool models. They're quite big models as well.
They are as well.
It was disappointing that we didn't see any like book or anything with Warcry for that. We were speculating this last week that the book with the rules came out like December, and it just seems strange that the models are coming out now, but it might be the mysteries of the release schedule.
I mean, I can get book the kind of the way that book was aimed for. They wanted to get it out for Christmas because had like the Blackstone annual as well. And
annuals are good Christmas presents as well. So yeah, get the book out and then have the models down the line. It's just unusual that you don't really see that from Games Workshop anymore. They tend to like to have everything out before you buy the book.
There's usually a reason, isn't there?
Yeah. So yeah, they look really cool. For Age of Sigmar, we had a bit of a surprise drop in a brand new campaign book. Wrath of the Everchosen. So this tells it's the continuation of the Sol War story. The Ossiarch Bone Reapers have invaded the Eight Points, and it tells the Battle of the Varenspire. Nagash wants control of the Varenspire because it's a good strategic point, being situated between eight realm gates where you can access the entire mortal realms. I imagine that he's not going to take it, but there's some, you know, lore implications if he did. We were chatting with Ben Johnson about it, and they kind of... Archeon's kind of was originally the big bad, but he's kind of been in the background recently, so they wanted to have something out where he can be kind of, you know, Archeon being awesome.
The centrepiece.
He didn't go into too many details about it, because I think it's probably a little bit further out compared to some of the other stuff that we've seen at the event. This is probably more on the March side of the scale, maybe. But there was mention of wandering monsters, perhaps using those new aforementioned Warcry kits, roaming endless spells, and Siege Warfare. Now, if there was Age of Sigmar Siege Warfare, surely you'd need some kind of castle to siege. Now, it could just be the re-release of the Varenspire kits.
For the third time.
Yeah, and the really nice kits, and I kind of kicked myself for not picking up some of them last time. We have seen some Ossiarch-style bits in the book, haven't we?
Good call, Matt. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Siege battles would be good. They did siege battles in Warhammer Fantasy. They were good.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a siege battle. I've always liked that kind of... But I don't think we've ever managed to have one.
The Dwarden wouldn't have to move very far in a siege
battle. No, they wouldn't. All those Iron Drakes on the walls.
And while this book is around that battle between the dead and chaos, you'll be able to adapt a lot of this. Like in those source books, it's kind of more of a framing device. Yeah.
They want people to pick this book up, even if they're not big fans of Death and Chaos.
Yeah, I think a Sigmar Siege would be really cool.
Yeah, it would.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. At the end of the event, there was also a final reveal. Now, we've had snaky elves. We've had elves that are kind of like trees. What we're missing are pointy elves, of course.
Pointy elves.
I bet you nearly fell off your chair when you saw this.
This was amazing. Very, very happy and excited about this release.
We can fully expect classic elves, because that teaser video was like, we hear you, we know you want your more classic-style elves.
Well, we'd kind of thought that Teclis's lot would be more angelic, because I'm sure in some of the lore they're mentioned as like angels of light. So whether that's a different faction and this is like, yeah, high elves reimagined.
Or you just get your elves and you pay them gold.
Or that.
And give them wings. But he also makes a very big point that Teclis is now a guard. He's coming back. He's going to get a model, isn't he?
We got saw a teaser of the model, didn't we?
Yeah. Out of his model, yeah.
I think that we've seen a few. I've put on the post over on the website. There's a few rumour engines that at the time we said were elven. We just didn't know whether they were Kernoth or Teclis's elves. I know Jay's been kind of excited to get on these. At least we've got confirmation that in spring, which isn't far off, I imagine we'll see the full reveal at the next reveal that they do for the following 3 months.
When's the Age of Sigmar open day?
Don't know if it's been announced yet. There's a few yet. US events. I think, is it Nova or
Adepticon?
Like Adepticon,
right,
is in a couple of months, so that'd probably tie.
And if I remember right, Adepticon last year and the year before had some pretty big reveals.
So I think we'll see the elves revealed there properly, because awesome. That will then bring them within that 3 month window probably. I think we'll see some reimagined bolt throwers. It wouldn't surprise me to see like dragon cavalry, because we haven't really had any dragons in, apart from like
the Storm Drake,
and the Storm Drake. We haven't had any.
I mean, Mulcrusher likes to think he's some descendant of a dragon at some point.
But you kind of feel what I mean. Like,
they just ate a lot.
The classic high elf dragon is gone. Yeah. Most of the high elf kits are gone.
It has actually. I was looking to see whether you can build like an army of the dragon princes, but they've gone out of Sigmar now. The only one that's in there still is the black dragon.
Yeah, so I think we'll see some.
Dragon.
I think we'll see some spiritual successors of them. Imagine like dragon princes, but on dragons.
Yeah.
You could do that in Sigmar.
You could,
and then have some massive uber mega dragon as a Behemoth choice.
I would just love new swordmasters of Hoeth.
Yeah,
Teclis leading them
with wings.
It's gonna be good. Well, I did notice looking back over the rumor engine and stuff, and looking at the pictures, because I think we've seen the horn on this Teclis's helmet in one of the rumor engines. For the pointy elves, they don't seem to like points very much. If you look at all the end of the scabbards on the sword, all the end of the horns, they've got like safety bits on the ends.
So they don't cut themselves.
Look, all their pointy bits are blunted at the end.
they remember what happened at the end during the end times. They're taking all necessary precautions. Yeah. Health and safety.
Yep. So my Dwarven will keep me going until spring. And then I'll go from movement 4 to a movement 8 elf.
Excellent. I think that was the biggest, maybe Shadow Sun, but that was the biggest reveal of the day.
I think it was the biggest reveal. And, you know, they did the, seminars. They weren't really seminars, they were FAQs. We'd had this last time where the preview seminar of the past, I think, has gone, and we were chatting with Ben, who pretty much confirmed this. They'd rather show all the stuff out in the hall, have all the trailers up on the screen so everybody can see it, rather than just a handful of people being able to get into a little
room. The two big things were the Sisters release date and Pointy Elves. Now, we'd unfortunately gone before we saw the Pointy Elves video. We had to watch it on Warcom. But we were in the hall when they played the Sisters. Like the music very much pipes up, so it grabs your attention to look at the screens dotted around, and then obviously it plays the video then. I think that is a much better way. There's no pushing to get in any kind of seminar.
And in the past, they've kind of dripped new stuff into the cabinets where everything was out. It's, you know, you're wandering around. It's nice chatting to the guys and seeing all the stuff.
Yeah.
We Middle-earth stand didn't have much of a shout-out on Warhammer Community, but they had the new match playbook. The finished book out to reflect through, which is really nice to see, because like the Sigmar campaign book was behind glass, wasn't it? Where they had it out and had some really cool stuff. In fact, I don't think we've talked to you about this, Jay.
No.
So it's basically a new book about match play games, giving you a structure for them. Essentially, it'd let you run a tournament if you wanted to.
A Lord of the Rings tournament.
It's got all those old missions that existed, but it's also got a section about Lord of the Rings doubles games. and specific scenarios for doubles with some really interesting deployments.
We were only talking about having doubles games after that match.
So one example that we had, that player Team A have a small force of one of the players in the centre of the board. Team B have both of their forces surrounding them. And then Team A's other player comes in to try and break through and save the guys in the middle.
That sounds good.
There were some really good looking scenarios in that book. With different deployment zones.
Yeah, so say if we were on a team, we'd be on opposite corners, then the enemy player would be on opposite corners and we'd fight through. It looks really, really good. And we were saying we could probably adapt a lot of these to 40k and Sigmar as well.
And I'm sure one of the... was it... I've forgotten his name. Jay Clare mentioned about... how much you can communicate with your opponent.
There's one scenario where you're not allowed to talk to the other person on your team because you're meant to be...
And there might be certain characters you need to kill, but you can't talk about which one you're going to go for, so you've kind of got to look and go, it looks like he's going for him, so I'll go for him, and hope that you don't cross paths and...
It sounds really good.
Sounds really good.
It's quite a thin book. I don't think it's going to be a massive, expensive release.
Any idea on the release date for that?
Within 3 months, I'd say.
I think because they had it for you to flick through... We're talking much sooner than, say, the Wrath of the Everchosen.
Yeah.
Maybe even next week.
Could be.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely worth picking up because you haven't got all the scenarios and stuff. So
nope.
They're doing this a lot more, getting a small book with all your scenarios and stuff in for playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that looked really good. We had a chat with Ray about the new scenery.
The new Rohan scenery, seeing other layouts that the people have made out of them. Like you say, we spoke to Ben Johnson. We spoke to quite a few people.
Phil Kelly was there. We had a chat with him. Dan Harden of the White Dwarf team. Yeah, it was really good. We grabbed some breakfast in Bookman's, and you might want to sit down for this, but Bookman's, at least at the event, I don't know if it still is, was table service.
We walked in just like going straight for a table and got stopped and like, is it just for like two of you? And it's like, are you eating in?
That's a good idea. Yeah, it makes sense to do it because there is always like a crush at the bar.
It worked really well.
And when it was busy for lunchtime, yes, there was a queue, but it was better than the huddle of people trying to grab a table and then the, you know, half hour queue to order your food, then the half hour wait for
food. We did have a quick chat to the waitress that was serving us. And we saw, I think you mentioned it, Matt, and she was like, we were told about it yesterday. last minute implementation, but I thought it worked great.
Yeah, I hope they continue it because it was really, really good.
Yeah,
really good. Now all they need to do is the Deliveroo.
Deliveroo.
Well, in the main hall, they had a drink stand as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really good. My negative comments for the event was they had a painting event, which a couple of people on Twitter entered. They didn't advertise it.
No.
On Facebook, people asked about it and there was the... You know, the cryptic, when we know, we'll let you know kind of response.
Yeah.
I'd have liked to have seen that kind of stuff spelt out on the website, I think.
Yeah.
Because then you'd throw a model in your bag on the off chance of entering a painting competition.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, it's good. I think the FAQ is probably a better structure than 30 people in a room watching a video that no one else can see.
My only little criticism of it is obviously it was £20 for a ticket.
£20 a ticket.
You obviously get to look around the exhibition hall, which we did. We had a quick scout out in there with the new Middle-earth diorama in there as well, which is really cool. We had pretty much done by dinner time, though. I think what we're going to do next time is we're actually going to take some Necromunda or a small amount of models.
Have a game, are you there?
Because there were quite a few people playing, but there were still loads of tables left to play on.
Yeah,
and I think it would make more of the day if you just had a quick game, because I really fancied rolling some dice.
I did too. We bumped into Daz in the queue, and he brought his Chaos Dwarfs.
Yeah.
Playing against Beast Claw Raiders. I'm like, fancy playing some Warhammer now.
Yeah.
We saw Pete Allison, Runebrush. He'd brought some models on the off chance, and I think he ended up winning best model in the painting competition.
Yeah,
it's a nice little community spirit when you start to know some of the other people who go to the events as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll do that next time to make the most of the trip up to Lord of the
Rings down.
I will say, I still don't think £20 a bad price for the event.
Well, when you consider you get around the exhibition centre,
which is £7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, last year I think it was like £7.50. That was a bargain.
I think it is up to you to make the most of it. Like you say, it's a bit of a way to travel. You get there, all right, you've seen all the new releases in the morning. They tend to trickle feed a bit. The pointy elves came at the end of the day. Fill your time while you're there.
Yeah, I definitely think we should take a handful of models. Heck, I mean, obviously Bugman's is always really, really busy, but even Underworlds or something.
Yeah.
Just to, I think it'll be a really good idea.
Yeah, but no, it was a good event. I recommend going to them, and it's always good to see what's coming in the next few months, and I think Games Workshop have realised that.
And it's so much better seeing the models in plastic.
Oh, it is. It's, yeah. You...
My nose was up against the cabinet looking at Shadow Sun. Like, looking all the way around it, like, oh, my days.
Yeah. And you've just been able to, nice. To chat to the designers, and we were flicking through the new Tzeentch and Caradron box, and we had a nice kind of running commentary from Ben Johnson telling us what was going on.
Yeah, what other opportunity are you going to get
to pick up a brand new book?
And I tell you what, they are two very nice books as well.
They are.
Caradron Overlord's book in particular.
The guns don't seem to degrade on the Caradron ships.
No, I had a quick flick through the War Scrolls, because the thing with the Caradron Overlords, for me, if I was to go back and do Caradron Overlords, is it's centre around the Ironclad. But the Ironclad was always that little bit disappointing, like in firepower. Obviously, we already knew about the rules about it being able to take off and come back down again 9 inches away from something else. But yeah, all its weapons have been reworked. The Sky Cannon's got two different shooting modes. It's a lot easier to hit and wound and do lots of damage with. Your carbines, they don't degrade anymore. In fact, I think you get more shots. They've changed how, like, where before you had the bellowing valves as your close combat attack, which was stupid, really, isn't it? It's like, how does that work? Is it, like, if it was real.
Yeah.
Now they've got boarding attacks. So you can imagine, like, the... Arcanauts on top fighting as you're in combat and
the battle line options in that book's amazing. Pretty much everything can be battle line depending on what faction you
take. There's a faction that has gun haulers as battle line. There's the one obviously that we already know with the frigates, and then if you get the new box with the new HQ choice, if you take him as your general, then you get Sky Wardens as battle
the
line.
Little
balloon ones.
Yes. Flying guys.
One of the variants.
Because that's always been a problem with the Caradrons, that you had to take those
Arcanauts,
which I was never a fan. I mean, they're cool.
I do like the Arcanauts.
They're not as cool as a gunship, are they?
No. I still think the biggest change to that book is the garrison rules, because it opens the door for, like, I really like Thunderers, but are they really that great? Stick them all on one of them things and they'll have a whale of a time.
Yeah. You know what my favourite thing about that book is? The Pokeball. So the artifact that contains any endless spell from any faction that can't be unbound.
Dashing Jaws, I choose you. it was a really good book. Really good.
Yeah, and Tzeentch looked good as well. And we'll probably be doing a full review on Tzeentch next week once I've got my hands on the book, but they look really cool.
Yeah.
You can take Flamers as battle line, Pink Horrors split properly now. There's some really cool stuff to do in there.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of Tzeentch armies, probably at this event that we're going to.
Yeah, probably. It was a good event. We always recommend going to Warhammer World anyway, even better if there's an event going on, really. Our next appearance there is going to be in April for the team event, unless something else crops up before then.
Yeah, I'm there for the GT in March,
of course
I want to say.
Yes.
So we'll see how I get on there.
Yeah, definitely. Right, well, that ends our open day chat. Let's refill our drinks and come back with our next segment. If you were a fan of the Warhammer Conquest magazine series, but you fancied something a bit more Age of Sigmar-y, then Hachette Partworks. We've just had about a 5-minute conversation about how to pronounce this. Partworks have returned with Mortal Realms, which is an Age of Sigmar magazine series, which is, did you say 70 issues?
80 issues.
80 issues, where you get models, you get paint, you get a magazine and other various gubbins along the way. Issue 1 is now out. To buy in stores, you can buy it from most supermarkets. Also, Games Workshop stores are going to be selling the first 4 issues.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be very limited in stock, because what you get in issue 1 is amazing value.
Well, issue 1, you get a ruler, you get the magazine. Okay, not so impressive at the minute. You get a set of easy build sequiturs.
That's pretty impressive.
£10 value. You get a set of chain rasps that sell for £25 by themselves.
Wow.
So £35 worth of miniatures for the princely sum of £2.99.
As Vincent Notley quite rightly put, the price of a Tesco meal deal.
You know what? And I've even the 6 dice that you get as well.
6 miracle dice.
Miracle dice, yeah. This series, each week you get a brand new issue for subscribers. They don't all include models, but most of them do. Yeah. And you get the odd pots of paint and things as well. Matt's just unwrapping. Is this the poster that comes
with it? This is the poster. So the poster shows everything that you get in the magazine, and there is an absolute massive pile of miniatures. Now, what we'll notice first of all, they're all in classic silver, grey plastic,
mm-hmm.
rather than coloured like they were in the previous one. Now, I don't know whether that's just the graphics for the thing and they actually come colour-coded, I don't know. But yeah, you get an awful lot of stuff. I mean, there's what, 4 evocators on Dracolines that I can see on that poster? The big...
Celestine Prime.
Celestine Prime. You've got some all sorts.
Absolutely, you've got all your battle line. You've got Liberators, you've got Sequators. I'm pretty sure I saw evocators on foot in there as well. You've got an exclusive Knight Encantor, which is coming in issue 5, I think.
Yeah, 2 ballistas. Some ether hawks, whatever they're called.
Ether wings.
Yeah, there's a load of stuff. I mean, we're probably going to do over the next couple of days a breakdown of all the contents and see how much it would cost.
You get Astraea Soulbright as well, the character on Draculine. Yeah. Which is really cool.
So yeah,
hold on. Is that thing with the wings there? Is that
a tour of whatever it is?
No, it's not. No, it's just placement of a prosecutor's wing next to a Draculine. I thought that was the big scary mountain. I was like, that really is good value, but no, it's not.
So yeah, load of stuff there. For the Night Haunt, you get pretty much every model in the range apart from the Black Coach.
Yeah.
Instead of that, you get the... And you know what? I forgot the name of this in the video that
Mortis
I recorded earlier.
Engine, isn't it?
The Mortis Engine, yeah. Which isn't part of their army, but I'm fairly certain they can ally it in.
Yeah.
And that might be the episode.
It has an alternate build as well, doesn't it?
It does, the Coven Throne.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah. Pretty much every Night Haunt character you get as well, including the Craven King, you get the Mortarch of Grief, you get the guy on the flying thing, Requiter or something, is he called?
The Grim Reaper, basically. Yeah. I mean, how many chain rafts do you get in there?
I think you get 20. A lot.
You get some Grim Ghast Reapers. I think you might have already said that.
All sorts. But that's not it, Dave.
But that is not it.
You get a load of scenery as well. So stuff from Warcry. You get stuff from the Sigmarite...
Shattered Dominion.
You get the... what's it called now? The
Mausoleum,
yeah. And I think the Smash Rite Ruins in the background there as well. So yeah, loads of stuff. Plus all the paints... Plus some paintbrushes. It seems a really good collection.
I think you get some clippers as well if you subscribe.
Yeah, so if you subscribe, you get some extra bonus things. So you get some clippers, you get some glue, you get a file, you get binders, you get more brushes, you get a painting handle, a water pot and a palette.
Wow. Yeah.
And then, so it's $7.99 an issue, so it's about £36 a month, something like that. £32 a month, which is what the current 40k one costs. If you want to add an additional £2 per issue, so an extra £8 a month, you also get 4 armies sent to you during the course of the magazine, which is really cool. We've got a post on the website where we kind of go into what you get, but pretty much a load of Flesh Eater Courts, including the Archregent, which is really cool. You get some Sylvaneth, Dreicher, some Spite Revenants, and a Branch Witch, and some paints. You get some Uruks, so some Brutes. A Mega Boss, is he called?
Mega Boss, yeah.
And a Shaman.
Weird Knob Shaman.
And then you get some Khorne as well. So you get some Blood Warriors, a Herald of Khorne, and some Flesh Eaters.
Yeah.
So all that lot costs way more than the £2 an issue that you pay in.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you whether you're going to use those models. You know, you get them for the sake of getting them, or...
I mean, you could always put them on eBay and fund your subscription.
I think we're going to subscribe for this, and I think I'll probably... pick these up because I think it's worth doing.
Mm.
And between us, I think we'll use most of those forces, won't we?
Yeah. So you can never have too many Uruks.
You can never have too many Uruks. And the same with the Khorne stuff. And Flesh Eater Courts, well, I've got a growing death collection now, so maybe throw those in.
Mm.
So, yeah. So the magazine itself is very much aimed at people new to the hobby. You get a lot of information about the lore and the characters. There's a nice fold-out bit telling you about Nagash and Sigmar and Chaish, with some maps and telling you where all the different locations are.
Oh, we do like a map.
And I think this is going to be ideal for people who maybe are into 40k and haven't, you know,
committed
to Sigmar. You know, they read the Windian online where, oh, there's no lore to Sigmar, it's destroyed the old world, blah, 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 blah. there's a lot of information in this, and I think I mentioned in the video that I did, over the course of this magazine, you'll have pretty much an encyclopedia about the mortal realms from all the different forces.
Yeah. That's cool, because I actually find it a bit overwhelming where to actually start. I mean, probably the rule book's the best place to begin, but there's a lot of content out there now, and you've got the different campaign books, you've got the new Wrath of the Ever Chosen. Where do you even get into it with something like this? It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah. Tells you to build your models. There's a little bit about, you paint your models as part of this hobby. Now, in the first issue of Conquest, it was really good because you got some Retributor Gold, you got some Abaddon Black, and you got some Crag Blue, I think, or Cantor Blue.
Mm-hmm.
For those three paints alone, people were buying this magazine left, right and centre. They haven't done this time. It's more of a drip of paints.
I was going to say, I think you get your first paints in issue two.
So I think, not to overwhelm you, this is just like, you do paint your miniatures, but build your models, and then it gives you a basic kind of overview of how to play a game of Age of Sigmar. It's essentially a combat phase. You get a little board with the starting locations of all your models, where everything can then pile in and do a bit of a combat phase.
Yeah, what I like with these magazine series is as your model collection grows, because, the Battle of the Barrows?
Barrows.
This is just the units, just the models you get in this issue, and then as your collection grows, the increase, you know, what you're doing in these little mini battles, until eventually you're having 2,000 point battles.
Yeah.
That's pretty nifty, actually, like a battlefield, sort of where you put your models.
Yeah, essentially, I think the idea is that your Stormcast pile in, they do their attacks, and then the Nighthawk pile in there. It basically teaches you how to do a combat phase.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably a good way of starting, rather than you deploy here and you're trying to get this objective. Just gets the basics of the game down. And, Sigmar's not overly complicated until you start going into abilities and war scrolls and stuff.
Yeah.
This just takes it down to the raw basics. You need a 3 to hit. Brilliant. And then I don't think it even goes into wounding in this kind of basic rules. It's just these kill models, take them off. The other guys get to fight back. There you need a higher number to kill the Stormcast. Which is not a bad way of doing it, I don't think.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've been tempted. Let us know if you've subscribed to this series. I know there was some criticism that it overlaps with Conquest a little bit. Although I do think we're getting towards the end of Conquest now.
Yeah, I think that was inevitable. Just with it being an 80-issue run, it's not in, clean years, is it?
No. But so issue one is available now. It's $2.99. You can pick it up from most places, although I'm sure people will be buying them in their droves just to get those models, especially if you're a Nighthorn player.
For, what's that, £6, you can get 20 Chain Rasps, but they'd cost you £50 from Games Workshop.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer if you collect them.
Yeah.
And the easy build Sequiturs, yes, it's an understrength unit, but again, two of them, you've got a nice little squad of Sequiturs, haven't you?
Yeah. So yeah, let us know via social media if you're getting involved in this subscription service, if you're a fan of it, or maybe if you're not. I think we're going to take a pause there, gentlemen, because we've got our big top three focusing on Mr. Rhodes.
The legend that is,
so we'll be back in a moment. And so on to this week's top three, with Duncan Rhodes, the very popular, almost cult icon of Games Workshop, leaving the company in the new year. We thought we'd have a top three focused on our favourite Duncan moments.
Reminiscing about the best of Duncan,
or Two Fin Coats as he is on Twitter now. I'm going to start with my third choice. And actually, I meant to double check this before we started recording to make sure he was actually definitely 100% in them. And I'm pretty sure he was.
Okay.
And that was the Contrast series of videos they did.
He was. He was in the Conan video.
Yeah. I really liked that entire series. I'm sure he played a big part in the creation of them as well. I just thought they were really funny.
They were.
Actually, my favourite was the one with just Peachy.
The Matrix one.
That was fantastic. But all of them were really good.
Yeah.
That'll be a bunch of videos that will always stay in my mind. What's your third choice, Jay?
My third choice? I don't have many. I'm going to struggle to get a top three this week, I think. But I'll start with one of my top three, and I'll try and think of two more. But this one's probably my number one, to be honest. It was the Alariel painting video.
Ah, yes.
It was quite a long video, and it was actually split into three parts.
it was the second video I followed of Duncan's, but I mean, I followed it to the letter. It was a fantastic video and really informative. All the different techniques, getting that the Wardroth Beetle's carapace, the different amount of layers you put on to get that effect. So it was really, really helpful, that one was. So that is probably my top one, Duncan.
And your Alaria looks fantastic as well.
Well, down to that video, basically.
It's pretty much painted by Duncan.
Pretty much painted by Duncan, yeah.
Cool. Your third choice, Matt?
Well, I'm going to run with that theme, and my third choice is the Nagash painting guide, which I think was one of the first big painting videos that he did. It was, you know, multiple episodes, like an hour long or something. And, yeah, it went into every layer pretty much you followed along with him. I know my wife was sick of Duncan's voice by the time I finished painting Nagash. But, yeah, it was such a good video. So many techniques in that video you could use on other undead models, like doing the transition from the kind of solid colours of his cape down to the ghostly ethereal bits, seeing how he did that. But it was, that must have been like, you know, 20 coats of transition going up, but unless you're shown how to do it, you can't really work that out yourself.
And that is it. I mean, one of the other videos that I followed Duncan's, and this would have been an early one as well. This would have been the Spirit of Durfu. Well, this would have been before Nagash, potentially. And it was the blend on the sword. So the yellow-orange, like, flaming sword. And, yeah, I mean, other than a few White Dwarf articles, and I remember White Dwarf went through that time where it wasn't that
helpful. I love the White Dwarf painting guide, where it's like, primed model, one base colour on, heavy metal model.
Yeah, like, right, Golden Demon winner. So, yeah, you're right. You don't really have anything. You know, okay, there's some videos you can watch online maybe, but they weren't all great. And then that Spirit of Durfu video came along, and after like 2 weeks of painting Durfu, I'd blended that sword. It was the first bit of blending I'd ever done. And then I think he also did a video, Grey Knights, Power Swords, and that getting that blended power sword effect. And if I'm going from never ever having attempted a technique like that to, I mean, you've seen my Force Swords and Power Swords, that blending, I think, is like top notch, and it's purely just following that video.
It was the same as on my Archeon, the flame sort of thing's probably a similar technique.
Yeah,
it's just once you learn how to do it, it's amazing, but it's just getting there, and Duncan just helped so much with that.
Do you know, that quite rightly brings on to my second choice, and I'm going to stick with this actual serious painting theme. I haven't followed many of Duncan's videos because I tend to go off on my own, especially with contrast. But one particular part of a model that I was really impressed with, because it was the most challenging thing I'd ever painted, was the Emperor's Sword on Gulliman.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was my first ever attempt at anything flame-related. And I was really happy with how it turned out at the end.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've improved a lot in painting over the last 12 months, and from picking up bits and bobs of Duncan's videos, but that one particular video of Gulliman's sword, the Emperor's sword, that was my favourite sort of painting moment, painting with Duncan. So yeah, really happy with how that turned out. And I'll continue to use his videos for general inspiration for things. Yeah. Your second choice, Jack?
My second choice probably has to be the funny videos they've done online, and I couldn't point out a particular one. The Knights one was a classic. They were just like, you know, you go back a couple of years and Games Workshop weren't doing any of this, and all of a sudden Duncan comes on the scene and he becomes like a cult symbol. Really funny videos. That's my number two.
Yeah, I mean, there's some brilliant videos I've done, and some of them might be in the top couple perhaps.
Yeah, if we don't cover some, I mean, we've got some community picks to read out anyway.
Yeah.
Your second choice, Matt?
So my second choice was, it's meeting Mr. Duncan Rose at an open day, back in the Mist of Time. It was before the Spruce and Bruise days, I believe.
Yes, it was.
And we'd gone to, I think it was one of the first open days that we'd gone to. And
at Warhammer World.
At Warhammer World, yeah. And they had a staff painting competition over in the office, hadn't they, across the road from there, Warhammer World. And, we go in there, and there's a slightly bewildered-looking Duncan wandering around trying to get people's votes for all the armies in the cabinets, and seemed very overwhelmed at it all. And I don't think he'd been doing the video as long at that point.
No.
And I think he was very overwhelmed with the whole weird internet meme fame celebrity thing.
Yeah.
But he was a really nice kind of guy in person.
Yeah, he was.
You know, as nice and kind of approachable as he is in the videos, He's just like that in person.
Yeah.
And kind of interested in like what you're painting. And I think I'd painted a Bereaver Titan at the time when I was showing him.
Maybe.
Showing him the pictures there, and he was giving some feedback and advice. So, yeah, if you get the chance, sadly, probably not at any Warhammer events now, but we'll see what he does in the future. And I'm sure he'll still be playing Toy Soldiers, so if you're lucky, yeah, you might bump into him at some point.
Round to our top choices. My favourite choice is actually, you touched upon it slightly, Jay, and that's the Renegade Knights video.
Yeah,
we just of all the videos he ever did, he just goes off. Because Duncan is known for his love of House Griffiths. Griffin.
Yeah, House Griffiths, isn't
Griffiths,
it?
Griffiths, isn't it? Yeah. so when the Renegade Knights were a thing, it was when they had the mini decks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Before they had the full decks.
Yeah, you know, it was the full book, and he had the different types of knights in there, and Duncan was like, oh, this is like an awesome kind of knight.
He's just so funny in that video, just basically going off on a massive rant.
Is that where it ends? Like, I'm a meme!
Yeah, yeah. I love that video. Definitely my favourite on Warhammer TV. Top choice, Jay?
Well, I was going to interrupt Matt. My top choice is also, because I think I was with you when you met Duncan, and I didn't think it was at Warhammer World. I thought it was at the Coventry.
I think we have met him there as well.
Ah, maybe I'm thinking of this event then, but I'm wondering whether we were just in the other building when we met him, because I've only ever been in the other building across the way from Warhammer World once. But yeah, he was in the Golden Demon area taking things, and I remember going up to him, talking to him, telling him really lovely videos, suggesting that perhaps if you had like in the description all the
paper. Yes, yeah. I remember, yeah.
And then I remember getting my mobile phone out and showing him a picture of my Grey Hunter that I'd painted using his video. I'm thinking, looking back now, he must be thinking, just getting all these people coming up to him showing me their models like painted by following his videos. But you're right, like he was exactly the same in person as he was on the video.
Very approachable.
Very, very approachable, yeah, and very, very accommodating, because, like I say, he must have been badgered all day by people showing things. So that was my top Duncan moment.
Awesome. Finishes off with your top choice, Jim.
Well,
Matt,
there could only be one option for number one, and that is hashtag charge everything. I like to feel my little contribution to the meme universe. way back in the early days of Warhammer TV, Duncan was playing a battle against Chris Peach. It was a narrative battle. A Drakari raiding force had captured a baron's daughter or something, and the knights had to uphold her honour and get her back. The victory conditions were, as long as this baron, or whoever it was alive at the end of the game, the knights would win. The Drakari had to try and get it off the table. It was the final turn. The Drakari were miles away from the edge of the board, so Peachy couldn't win at this point. Duncan, however, has to valiantly charge in his knight to the model that was carrying this objective, because reasons. It's Duncan. He has to charge if it happens. Charge everything. It goes in. It ends up getting killed by the Archon, whatever he'd chosen, exploding and killing the objective. Duncan lost the game. And from that, charge everything was born, because it's like, you've won, Duncan. You could just put down your dice and you've won the game. No, we'll charge.
Charge and blow up the hostage.
And yeah, that's just something that continued through many of Duncan's kind of battle reports that he was on. And
still on his Twitter bio.
Still on his Twitter bio, yeah.
I think so, anyway.
It was last time I looked.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I just love that. Because at the end of the day, that's often how I play Warhammer.
Charge everything.
Just charge everything. What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? There were some fantastic moments. We have got your... We're not going to mention any honourable mentions, because we might cover them in the community top three picks, which, coincidentally, we're going to take a pause and come back with in just a moment. We have got a smorgasbord of comments from you guys with your top three Duncan moments.
I like your vocabulary this week, Dave.
It's been impressive, yeah. We're going to start over on Facebook. Ian Brown, Duncan in the Chaos Knight Codex preview video when he finds out they're heretics.
Is that the Ian Brown?
It could be the Ian Brown, yeah.
That's cool.
Big Warhammer fan. David Metcalf says, how to paint Archeon, an hour and 30 minutes of painting masterclass. Well, that's
you know what, I still go back to that video for painting my other Chaos stuff as well. It's really good.
Yeah. Moving on to Instagram, Goffhammer, the What's the Internet Gulliman tease.
Yes.
I don't remember that one.
So he was talking about the new model, and someone's like, "Oh, they'll speak on the internet," and Duncan's like, "What's the internet?"
And then that Warhammer guy 23 says Noise Marine, which is the band.
The
one.
Band.
I forgot
that
about
really
that.
Cool.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Solokian Spearmen. That was his own.
His
regiment.
Converted regiment. Yeah, they kind of look like the 300 with a kind of awesome shield.
I'm sure that he did those as a, was it his 100th painting?
I think
video
it was. Yeah.
And finally, the final contrast trailer, which I think was the Conan.
Conan.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, over on Twitter. Pete Allison says, the first ever Too Thin Coats comment, it set the legacy.
I can't believe we haven't already mentioned that.
The Conan video and Stroppy Duncan with the Chaos Knight. Pete also says, hashtag, please be a guest, Mr. R. We would love to have you on the show if you're listening, Duncan.
Yeah, we would. Very much so.
HPL says, surely it should be top two, Archeon and Korgrath. Vincent Notley. Charging a knight into combat with Peachy's Archon, getting stabbed through the eyes and exploding, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Such, I think that's one of my favourite videos on Warhammer TV, Duncan just throwing it all away in a fit of madness. Craig Sinclair says there can only be one, the Conan video. Corndog, it was fun when Mini Wargaming visited and stole Duncan's identity and left them all traumatised. Taught me that Big Dunk has acting chops too. Zad Roz Industries, Peachy breaking the news about Chaos Knights, Becca telling him to go sit down in his corner and paint something, and Duncan accepting his status as a meme. Martin Orlando, the time he walked in on Joey Logan spiking a drop pod at a table to test deep strike rules in 8th edition 40k. Do you remember those 8th edition 40k trailers?
Yeah.
They were fun. Mike Lode Minis, the Cities of Sigma video with Peachy in armour. The Warhammer Day video with Peachy and Duncan outside Warhammer World. A very different Too Thin Coats. And it has to be Renegade Knights. I'm a meme. Gaz Taylor, Duncan being upset on Chaos Knights. My son laughed a lot at Duncan. Dave the Sandman, mild-mannered Dunk turning all Chaos Dark Side. Duncan, a promo video is one of my favourites. The hobby needs meme magicians like Too Thin Coats. And then someone mentioned, I want to know where the Charge Everything meme originated. I'll put my hands up for that one, I'm afraid.
Fabius Fulgrim, also on Twitter, his third choice was his Rubric Marine video was a brilliant guide. Second, the Noise Marine, again the band video, and his top choice again is the Chaos Knights Codex video. Chris, at 40k, Chris that is, my favourite moment was the first Renegade Knights video when he doubled over screaming onto the floor, I lost it. Battlebrush Studios says, amazing, popular YouTube personalities and stuff. I think it just means in general, they were all awesome. And to finish us off, Sixpence says, if number one isn't Charge Everything, I'm unsubscribing.
Well,
so I think that's going to have to be our overall number one, because we do not want to lose subscribers.
No, they've got two late entries and they're good ones.
Oh, right.
They're snuck in there at the end there. So Peter, Pop Culture Cube, says that his tutorials on the Blight Kings really inspired me and helped my early painting. The April Fool's Water video was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it was really good.
And when he and Peachy assembled and painted the entire Age of Sigmar Soul Wars box in a day.
Yes,
really
they
cool.
did a big live stream, didn't they?
Impressive.
Was it a 24-hour live stream?
24-hour build and paint the entire Soul Wars box. And then to finish us off, because I really like this one, Ross Polly says, it's impossible to pick only three. I'm going to miss his videos immensely. His personality, the personality added a lot. And I think Duncan was awesome. We wish him all the best in whatever ventures he's on next.
Yeah. But let's not forget, we've still got Peachy and Baton, so...
Yeah,
we'll still get those cool painting videos.
We will indeed.
So, that brings us towards the end of this week's podcast.
Another
now,
week over.
We've discussed what's going to be on the next top three.
We have. So, next, with all the kind of behemoths becoming battle line recently, we want to know your top three behemoths in Age of Sigmar.
Yeah. So send yours in via all the regular social media links, which will be at the end of this podcast as well. Thank you once again for listening and for rating and commenting on our podcast. It means a lot. We love reading your comments. Twitter is just going crazy at the moment.
It really is.
The amount of followers and stuff. So thank you very much for your ongoing support. And we'll be back. Blah, 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 blah. We will be back next week with a fresh new podcast. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Blah, blah, blah.
Thank you for listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast. If you like what you've been listening to, please do give us a share and a comment if you're listening via Apple Podcasts. For further content, please check out spruceandbrews.com, and you can contact us on Twitter @spruceandbrews or over on Facebook, facebook.com/spruceandbrews.